Healthy stem cells in bone marrow are an integral part of our body's system. As a matter of fact, billions of new blood cells are produced each day by our stem cells. But when stem cells get damaged or inhibited, they can actually be replaced through a transplantation process. Here to teach us more about this amazing treatment is Dr. Leslie Lehman, Medical Director for International Hematology, Oncology, and Bone Marrow Transplants at Boston Children's Hospital, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, and Associate Director of the Pediatric Stem Cell Transplant Center at Dana-Farber Boston Children's Cancer and Blood Disorder Center. This is the first episode in a five-part series from Boston Children's Hospital about stem cell transplants, where a Boston Children's expert brings you answers. I'm your host, Prakash Chandran. So first of all, Dr. Lehman, thank you so much for joining me. I'd love to get started by asking, what exactly are stem cell transplants?
Well, it is also great to be here. Thank you. So stem cell transplants are a relatively old approach to treating a bunch of pediatric disorders. Also, they keep becoming more and more innovative. And so since we've done them probably since the early to mid-1970s, but the technology and the indications are ever expanding. So basically, we're talking about hematopoietic stem cells, which are the stem cells that give rise to all the different blood types in your body. And it's important to distinguish that from when people talk about stem cell transplants from muscles or hearts. This is completely different. So these stem cells, hematopoietic stem cells, I'll just call them blood stem cells, live in your bone marrow, and you can collect them from either a person who is a patient or from a person who is acting as a donor and give them back to the person, which we call autologous stem cell transplant, or allogeneic stem cell transplant, when we give a donor's blood stem cells to somebody else. And that allows us to wipe out the person's bone marrow and replace it with these new stem cells, either of their own that we previously collected and stored, or from a donor who has to be a sufficient enough match. And by wiping out their own bone marrow, we can put in a healthier, stronger bone marrow.
And just kind of an ancillary question here, you know, I think we've all heard of stem cells before. And from your explanation, it sounds like they're naturally occurring in the bone marrow. But why exactly are they so important?
So if your bone marrow, your own blood stem cells are broken in any way, so you can think of a bazillion different diseases where your stem cells are broken. You could have sickle cell disease, which is really common. You could have thalassemia, where you don't make enough red stem cells. You could have cancer of the blood, where your stem cells got broken and now are causing a cancerous kind of leukemia or condition like that. Crucial is that then we can destroy your own and put healthy ones back in and sort of fix you. And when I tell families is I look at it as the body could be a chest of drawers, and we can take out the drawer that is the blood stem cell drawer and put in a healthy drawer. And if that's what's wrong with the whole chest of drawers, then you absolutely fix the problem. And they will learn to adapt in your body over time. And so I don't know if people know about kidney transplant, for example, you have to be on immunosuppressive medicines forever. But because these blood stem cells actually also produce the immune system of the body, over time, they learn to live in you. And ultimately, you're not on any medications and they can live in you for years and years and years. And I think that's what makes it such an exciting technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the drawer analogy. That makes a lot of sense to me. So you touched on this earlier, but let's maybe discuss the most common use cases where transplantation can help patients.
So the beginning indications for stem cell transplant were blood malignancies, and those are called leukemias. And there's leukemias of the myeloid cells and leukemias of the lymphoid cells, AML and ALL, and they are the most common of the blood that we see in children and actually in adults. And so what you can do is give very, very strong doses of chemotherapy, wipe out the person's own blood stem cells and all the leukemic cells, and then put in the blood stem cells of another person. And that is where a transplant was sort of, you know, got its first legs. And then over the last 20 years, people have found more and more indications. As I said earlier, if you have something so that you're not making the right kind of red blood cells, like sickle cell anemia and thalassemia, which are worldwide incredibly common conditions and need to be treated with pain medications or monthly red cell transfusions, which are costly and have infectious risks and require infrastructure and all of that, you can just give a new healthy bone marrow that is then making the red cells, and the red cells aren't broken by sickling and broken that way, or are you're making them as you weren't doing before in thalassemia. So that was sort of the next step. The other place where it's really useful is a lot of children are born with immunodeficiency syndromes. And people may have heard of the bubble baby years ago, where he had no immune system, so he had to live in a bubble because any infection would kill him. And we can replace the immune system so that you have now a new healthy immune system. So those are the major indications and the ones that people think about the most. But then your blood stem cells also make enzymes that other cells in your body make. And so there's some enzyme disorders, storage disorders, like adrenal leukodystrophy, where we replace the blood stem cells because we know how to do it. And then those healthy cells make the enzyme and can cure a disease like adrenal leukodystrophy. So the indications are growing and growing, and it makes it very powerful.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And you already talked about this, but I'd love for you to, again, outline the different types of stem cell transplants.
So we think of it, so two different ways to break them down, but the way people traditionally think about it is either you take the person's blood stem cells, take them out, you collect them like you donate platelets on a apheresis machine and freeze them. And then that allows you to give very, very, very high doses of chemotherapy that the bone marrow can tolerate. You give that chemotherapy and then you rescue them with their own stem cells back. And that's called autologous transplant. And basically in adults is used for a lot of different adult diseases, but in children is used mostly for solid tumors like neuroblastoma or lymphoma or brain. And it's sort of, in a way, a little bit easier kind of transplant because you're not mixing and matching immune systems. The other way is called allogeneic, and that's when you need a healthy donor. And that donor has to match you on the tissue typing antigens. It can either be a sibling, can be a full match, or in the unrelated donor registry pool, the over 20 million donors that have signed up incredibly altruistically to be donors for people. So we tissue type the patient, and then we go into this 20 million pool and see if there's a donor that matches them. And then we can put in the donor healthy blood stem cells, and that's called allogeneic transplant. So that's one way to think about it. The other thing is, where do you get the blood stem cells from? And you can get them from a sibling. You can get them from this unrelated donor that I was talking about, or you can get them from unrelated umbilical cord blood donors, because it turns out that the blood stem cells are very common in umbilical cord blood. And so people can choose to donate their child's cord blood at the time of birth, and those are also stored in the bank. And so we can look all those different places to find a donor that's a good match.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. And for the allogeneic transplant, does age play a factor, or does that not really matter?
So if you have a matched sibling, we would use that matched sibling. And if you're a child, that person is usually going to be pretty young. When we look for unrelated donors, it has been shown that younger is better. You're only allowed to donate up to age 60, but more and more data is coming out to say really having a donor who's in the 20s and 30s is probably the best, because you have more blood stem cells in your body and those stem cells are healthier and able to divide enough to fill up the whole body. So every bone in your body has bone marrow in it, and we take out, you know, only 10% of what you would need and put it back into you. And over months, it grows and expands and fills up all those niches again. And so to be able to do that, having a young, healthy marrow is probably better.
And just to be clear, I think I am understanding this better, but bone marrow transplants and stem cell transplants are not the same thing. Is that correct?
It depends sort of who you're talking to. So what we're talking, so stem cells are cells that are sort of grandfather cells that can grow up to be anything. That's sort of the definition of a stem cell. So if you have a muscle stem cell, it can early in the process and it can grow up and be muscle. If you have a brain stem cell or whatever, we're only talking about hematopoietic or blood stem cells, and people will call them hematopoietic stem cell transplants or hematopoietic bone marrow transplants, and they use those words interchangeably. You can get these stem cells from the bone marrow, as I was talking about, and that's what we usually do in children, or sometimes you can collect them when they are circulating around in the blood, like you would donate platelets, and those are called peripheral blood stem cell transplants. But the main thing to know is that we're only talking about the stem cells that grow up to make all the blood cells in the body. They don't make muscle, they don't regenerate limbs, they don't don't do all those other things that you read about in the newspaper sometimes.
Yeah, it's truly fascinating. You know, Dr. Lehman, this has been super informative. Is there anything else that you want to share with our audience around defining stem cell transplantation before we close here today?
No, I think that the indications are really year by year. And so if your child or your patient has a disease that involves the blood or the immune system, then it may be that a stem cell transplant, a hematopoietic stem cell transplant would be useful. And you should absolutely reach out to your physician or to us and see whether, you know, the disease you're talking about can be cured with stem cell transplantation. And then also just to do a shout out to those 20 million unrelated donors who sign up for this registry and get called and actually donate their own stem cells for someone they don't know. And it really is always a heartwarming thing to see that people will do that. And it's international. So we will have donors from Brazil donate to someone in Boston or donors in Saudi donate to someone in Boston. And it just is a great sort of humanitarian thing to experience.
Yes, completely agree. Very heartwarming to hear. Well, again, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Lehman. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to part one of our stem cell transplant series from Boston Children's Hospital. For more information about the Dana-Farber Boston Children's Stem Cell Transplant Program, U.S. patients and referring providers can call 617-632-3961 or email PEDI_SCT@DFCI.harvard.edu. For international patients and referring providers, you can call 1-617-632-2952 or email PEDI_international@DFCI.harvard.edu. Thanks again for listening. My name is Prakash Chandran, and we'll talk next time.